Holy Spirit, as you spoke through your word for ages upon ages, through the prophets, through your son, through your servants, speak through your word now, that my words might be your words, and you would draw us to faith, encourage us in faith, and strengthen us in mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like God let you down? Is that a feeling you recognize? Have you ever felt like God didn't answer your prayer, or especially the way you wanted it? You prayed for something for a very long time, long time, and still it seems like nothing has changed. Maybe you prayed for God to help someone with a long-term illness, and day after day you pray, and it's same old, same old. Or you prayed for God to reach out to your children and grandchildren who have walked away from Jesus and pray for Jesus to draw them back to him and back to the church. And years go by and it seems like nothing happens. Have you felt like God was just plain late in attending to your needs? Everyone else's prayers seem to be answered. Everyone else feels like God is there for them, but not for you. Your prayers go unanswered, God seems silent, and then you start to believe that voice that says that God doesn't really care about your needs. God doesn't really love you, or God isn't really good. Have you been there? Do you know what that feels like? I think that's Zechariah. Today we're looking at his song, last week we looked at Mary. Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed for a child for years, and they had no children. No child, and particularly no son in that day, in that culture, brought great shame to a husband and wife. And people would jump to conclusions and probably start talking behind their back and say, well, you know, maybe God's mad at them. Maybe they sinned and did something, and, you know, that's their payback. But Luke 1 tells us the opposite. It says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God. They walked blamelessly in all the commandments of the Lord. They are mature in faith, trusting God, loving God's word, trusting God's promises. Yet God had not answered their prayers the way they wanted. God seemingly had answered everyone else's prayers, but not theirs. Zechariah was a priest, and many priests lived in the towns surrounding Jerusalem, so they could be close enough to do their duty. But priests had duty only a couple weeks a year, most people think, and then lived otherwise ordinary lives the rest of the year. So it's kind of rare then that he's on duty, and then even more rare that he's chosen by lot to go into the temple and burn incense while there's a great crowd outside. And this is probably a highlight in his life. It may be the only time he gets to do this, or one of a few. And while he's in there, very near to the presence of God, the angel Gabriel appears and says, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will call him John. He will be a prophet, and he will prepare people's hearts to receive the Messiah and call them to repentance. And finally, all of Zechariah's prayers, the years and years and decades upon decades of pain and heartache and seeing neighbors and friends and family members have children and grandchildren, finally God is answering his prayer. And Zechariah can't believe it. He says, come on, no, I'm old. My wife's old. No way, stop playing with me. I can't handle this anymore. And Gabriel replies, hey, I was sent from God to bring you this good news. And since you don't believe me, you're not going to be able to speak until he's born. So Zechariah doubts God's word even from an angel. Zechariah expresses doubt. Last week, Mary also expresses doubt, both here at the beginning of Luke and Luke 1. And both are told by the angel Gabriel that they're going to have babies that are going to change the entire course of history, and they can't believe it. But I think there's a difference between Mary's doubt and Zechariah's doubt. You see, if you and I are honest with our own faith lives with God, I believe we all have doubts too. We wonder if God will ever answer our prayer. Or you wonder if God got something wrong in your life. You tell God, hey, I should have gotten that job. Or you shouldn't have let me do that. Or I shouldn't have moved there. Or I prayed long and hard about something, and maybe God just seemed absent. And then you start to doubt that God cares about your life, or maybe that even that you believe in God at all. I'm not sure what your doubts are, but I'm guessing you have them. And the Bible talks about doubt not in one way, but in a number of different ways, and I think it's very helpful because not all doubt is the same, and so you see it differently in Mary's and in Zechariah's, even though their stories are right next to each other and intermingled in the story of Luke 1 and 2. Mary, when Gabriel appears and speaks of Jesus' birth, she responds thoughtfully and asks for more information. She says, "How can this be? I'm a virgin, I'm not married, it doesn't work that way." She's also a very good Jew and taught that God is beyond us, God's not a human being, so how do I wrap my head around this? She thinks logically and wants a decent explanation to some very good questions. And then Gabriel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, this is God's thing, trust." And Mary, even though she doesn't quite get it, says, "Okay, God is good, I trust God, I'm God's servant, let it be to me according to your word." Mary's doubt seeks answers, and I think that's a good kind of doubt. It's saying, "God, I'm not sure about this, but I want to trust you, I want to grow in faith, and I want to seek answers." So Mary's doubt is the kind of doubt that seeks answers, which actually then deepen your faith and trust. I think that's a good thing. That's Mary. Zechariah, on the other hand, doesn't want answers. He's telling God, "No, I don't believe that." So Zechariah, in a sense, already has come to a settled conclusion where Mary's trying to work this thing out. Zechariah says, "God, you're late. You're not answering my prayer. I'm not having kids. God has failed me. I'm not believing this." So Zechariah's doubt seems more like a putting up barriers and a defense against even considering the answers. So Mary's doubt means she's willing to have God change her mind so that she'll have deeper trust in God. Zechariah just doesn't want to believe. He's settled in what he's concluded about God. So what about you? What kind of doubts do you have? Are your doubts about God ones that lead you to learn and discover and grow and trust God more, like Mary? Or are your doubts just ways to avoid God? God becoming human? Nah, I don't believe that. God dying to forgive my sin, especially that one? Nah, I don't believe that. Jesus actually raising people from the dead and healing people? Nah, I don't believe that. What kind of doubt do you have? Mary's doubt leads her closer to God. Zechariah's doubt, in a way, leads him away for a moment. Are you willing to seek God and let God answer? And so Gabriel says, "Okay, Z, you don't believe me? You will not be able to speak until John is born." And then Zechariah comes out of the temple, and he can't talk, and so everybody knows that he has been with God. Something miraculous has happened. And then Zechariah has 9 months to think about this and to pray and reflect with God. And he has 9 months to see God fulfill God's promise. So Elizabeth gets pregnant. They then have a son, John, the one who prepares people's hearts for Jesus. And Elizabeth then gets to see herself like so many women in the Old Testament who were barren and then God gave children to, like Sarah and Rebecca, Rachel and Hannah. God is fulfilling his promise to give them a son and one that will prepare the way for the Savior. And after John is born, Zechariah names him, and when he names him, his voice comes back immediately, and he sings. You can imagine the tears running down this old man's weathered face and beard because God has come near and answered his prayer. God has fulfilled his promise. And all those years of disappointment and heartache and doubt and pain are now suddenly replaced with a boy in his arms. To him, God was late, but God was exactly on time. And then Zechariah sings. Because when people know of the goodness of Jesus, of God's love for them, they sing. And his first verse says it all. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and redeemed them." And then he unpacks it. He says, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, the great king, as he promised through the prophets, salvation from all of our enemies and all those that hate us. showing mercy to our ancestors, keeping his covenant, the one he swore to Abraham, to rescue us from our enemies so that we may serve him without fear and holiness, righteousness, every day of our lives. And then he turns to his son he's holding and says, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way and give people knowledge of salvation, of the forgiveness of their sins, because God loves them, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising of the sun will come from heaven to shine on those in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. God might be late, but God is faithful." God might be late, but God is faithful. And you can see that as the story of the whole Bible. You see, God promises a Savior way back in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden to Adam and Eve, thousands of years before Jesus is born. And if you read through there, you almost get the sense that Eve thinks her first son might be the Savior. No. And then generations upon generations, eventually they give birth to Seth. And then generations down, you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Judah, all the patriarchs. No Savior. And then they're in slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years. No Savior. And then God raises up Moses, who's a kind of Savior, but he's not the Savior. And Moses leads them out, and eventually Joshua leads them to the Promised Land. Still no Savior. And the period of the judges, not a very good one. Samson, Deborah, others, no Savior. And finally Israel, then, has their own king, King Saul, not a Savior. Then David, the one after God's own heart, no Savior. Solomon, the pinnacle of their influence in the ancient world, no Savior. Kingdom splits and divides, and the northern kingdom then gets taken over by Assyria, the southern kingdom by Babylon. They're both in exile, no Savior. They return from exile, they rebuild the temple and Jerusalem, and they're still waiting. 400 years from the last prophet Malachi, still waiting. God was awfully late, but God is faithful. And at the right time, in the right way, in the right place, God sent a Savior. Zechariah's son John would be the snowplow to clear the way in people's hearts so that they would be ready to believe in the Savior Jesus, who would save all people from their sins and renew the whole world. That's why Zechariah sings, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has come to his people and redeemed them. God might be late, but God is faithful. God sends his son into the world for you, to take on our flesh, bear our sin, die in shame, rise in glory, be our Savior, and give us new life. The long-awaited, hoped-for Savior is finally coming, and to us has come." And Zechariah sings because God is rescuing. That's what God does. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has come to his people and redeemed them." So you, when you feel like God has let you down, when you feel like God didn't answer your prayer, God might be late, but God is faithful. Jesus has come to save you. Jesus is leading you, and you can trust him. When you've prayed for something for a long, long time, and still it seems like nothing has changed. When you've prayed for God to help someone with long-term illness, and every day nothing changes. Or when you've prayed for God to reach out to your children and grandchildren and draw them back to Jesus and to the church, and years go by and it seems like nothing happens, God might be late, but God is faithful. Jesus has come to save you. Jesus is leading you, and you can trust him. And when you feel like God is just plain late in attending to your needs, and everyone else's prayers seem like they're answered, and everyone else feels like God is there for them, but not you. And when God seems silent, and you're tempted to believe that voice that tells you that God doesn't care, or God doesn't love you, or God isn't good, remember, God might be late, but God is faithful. Jesus has come to save you. Jesus is leading you, and you can trust him. So may the peace that surpasses our understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.